Welcome to Penance and Purgatory. I'm Abigail.
And I'm Anthony.
And this is the podcast where you can't tell whether we're in hell or not. I have a special visitor this week. Wesley is on vacation, gallivanting across Europe, so I have dragged my youngest brother into this.
Slash editor.
He is an editor. He is one of our editors of this podcast. I think we dragged him in 3 or 4 months after this all started.
Try 2 weeks.
Oh, was it? I have no clue. I can't keep track of time anymore.
I started editing episode 6, so it was about 6 weeks, but I helped Zachary throughout the first 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so he's been an editor, but he's never been on the podcast before. So when I was like, okay, Wes is going to be out for a bit on this vacation, I would like to put out videos. Not videos. This is not a video. This is not a YouTube channel.
I'm really glad it's not. This would be really awkward to have on a YouTube channel.
We're recording it in my actual closet.
It's probably about a 6x6 room.
I think 6x6 is being generous.
Yeah, probably.
Because we only have one mic, so we needed to be in a room small enough that one mic would cover both of us. So we're in my actual closet. Insert joke about being in the closet again. Yeah, so I've dragged my younger brother into this. This is Anthony.
Wait, you said again. Why'd you say again?
I don't know. Because I dragged you in as an editor, and now I'm dragging you in as a source of content. He's 5 years younger than me, roughly.
Free content.
He is the baby of the family, despite being like a foot and a half taller than me.
That's crap.
He is the athletic one of the family.
I don't know about that.
Our middle brother is the social one of the family.
Yeah.
And then I'm the special one, I guess.
Special is her middle name.
Yes. I'm the one that people are like, oh boy.
It's okay.
Yeah. So he's going to be here for this episode, and maybe in more episodes down the line, if I can talk him into coming back.
If I can figure out more things to talk about.
It's not.
It took me 2.5 hours to figure out what I was going to talk about.
It's not too hard.
Well, then you're giving me ideas.
Sounds good. This would be where Wes asks me a random question. Do you have a random question for me?
Why would I have a random... You didn't prepare me for this.
He never prepares me for this either, so it's payback.
Oh, okay. No, I don't. I don't have any random questions.
Okay. This is also where we would do announcements. We are back after I moved. My shit is finally settled. Yeah.
Settled is a loose term.
We have, like, all but one box unpacked.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty good, especially for someone who works full-time. So I think we're pretty good. My cat may or may not make an appearance, depending on how rambunctious she's feeling today. But who knows. I'm hoping this is going to be a pretty mellow and shorter episode, but you know me. Whenever I say that, it's like a series and a half.
Yep.
So I say we just get into it.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any more announcements to add except wear your damn mask and get vaccinated.
I like that. I like that announcement.
Yeah. Would recommend.
Would recommend.
Okay.
10 out of 10.
So what are we talking about today, Anthony?
All right. So I got a pretty short one here. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right. So it's how nature and nurture affect people, mostly serial killers and psychopaths.
Okay, so kind of tying into a lot of the stuff we've talked about here, I think I've definitely hit on this topic loosely in a couple of episodes.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I definitely have my own beliefs on it. It's definitely not something that is settled in the psychological world, even though I think it definitely should be. But again, that is my own belief. Okay, my cat is gonna be a guest as well today. Hi, cat. She is very confused as to why we're sitting in the closet.
Well, you know what? You gotta do what you gotta do, okay?
Yeah. It's an adventure and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alright. So, my first question for you.
Okay.
Do you know the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath?
Okay. So, a sociopath is born. A psychopath is created off of traumatic incidents, I believe.
So, the technical definition of a sociopath is a person with a personality disorder manifesting itself into extreme antisocial attitudes and behaviors and a lack of...
conscience.
Exactly, that word. Can't even read my notes. Starting out great. And a psychopath is a person suffering from a chronic mental disorder with abnormal or violent social behavior.
Okay. I do want to throw in here the difference between a mental disorder and a personality disorder. A mental disorder or a mental illness, while they do present similar to personality disorders sometimes, and they do often look very similar, they are different to some degree. Primarily in the sense that personality disorders are focused on repeated patterns of behavior, whereas mental disorders are marked by repeated patterns of thinking.
Yes. So,
So a psychopath is defined by their behavior, whereas a sociopath is defined by their thinking.
Yes. And so... So in a psychopath, you have a lot of key behavioral aspects that are almost always present, if not all of them or most of them.
Okay.
So they're they don't learn from their experiences, lack a sense of responsibility, they're unable to form meaningful relationships. Lack control of impulses. They don't really have a, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Remorse. They can't feel remorse. So they don't feel bad for you if you get hurt.
They don't have a sense of empathy.
Exactly. They don't feel remorse. And they're emotionally immature. And they're very self-centered.
Okay.
So that's that for you. If you wanted to know, now you do.
And when we define this, we don't mean that all people with psychopathy traits are necessarily fitting all of these characteristics.
Yes.
With almost everything, a spectrum.
Yeah.
Like, you can have some of these characteristics, like... Some people may have emotional immaturity, but that does not necessarily make them a psychopath.
Yeah.
It's a spectrum, and one characteristic does not necessarily make a psychopath.
Yeah, and so you'll never find either of them in a medical journal describing all of the... any medical illness, because neither of them are classified as, like, illnesses.
Correct.
So they both fall under the same category of antisocial personality disorders.
Yes.
Which makes it very hard for you to diagnose it, because when diagnosing it, they fear that a diagnosis will cause more harm than good.
Which is often the case with personality disorders, because it becomes a label.
Yeah.
And the reality is there's not a lot you can do to treat personality disorders, especially specific types of personality disorders. You can't treat it with medication, and you have to be very careful when treating it with therapy, because it's very easy to do a lot more harm than good.
Yeah. So... Back in the 1900s, a very common, very inhumane, but very common way to treat these mental illnesses was electroshock therapy.
Yes.
And that was removed from use, I'm pretty sure, in the early 2000s, if not the late 1900s.
Yeah, that's correct.
Because of the fact that it was classified as inhumane and caused more harm to the human than was actually solving in the problem.
And as we've discussed in our series on MKUltra a couple of episodes ago, actually, electroshock therapy is really only helpful in the treatment of severe cases of schizophrenia and depression because they are mental illnesses.
Yeah.
It does not do anything to help personality disorders or developmental disorders.
Yeah.
And so at that point, you're only doing severe damage to the brain to create no results. I mean, you're literally inducing a seizure in someone.
Yeah. It's really not worth doing at this point.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to start by talking about nature.
Okay.
So that is the argument that a person can be born to be evil.
Yes.
Basically. In this case, it is born to be evil. So, I have two pictures here. I want you to look at them.
We'll make sure to put them in our sources.
And I want you to tell me if you can see the difference in this brain picture.
Okay. So, the left picture definitely has a lot more color in the middle.
Yeah.
And along the outer edges, there's just a lot more brain activity, whereas in the right picture, because in brain scans like this, the color denotes brain activity in those specific areas.
Yeah.
And so if the area is black, that means there's no activity. If it's darker color, that means there's little to no activity.
Yes.
So on right, there's really only activity going on in the very outer edges of the brain.
Yeah. And so in the way I understood it was that the prefrontal cortex isn't being used as much in the patient, in the psychopathic patient's scan.
Correct.
It wasn't activating as it should.
Correct.
As much. And so you see it in the second one a little bit better, how actually relevant it is, because the coloration in, that area, which is very dominant in your decision making and stuff, isn't there.
And I should also note that these scans are typically done while the patient is solving puzzles.
Yeah.
So it's not like while they're listening to music or anything like that. Like they're solving math puzzles or like situational dilemmas. Mm-hmm. Like if there's one person on one side of a train and then like which one would you pick to survive? Those kinds of problems. That's what these patients are being asked to solve at the time.
Yeah. So, the gene that this is described as is called the MAOA gene, which has been linked to increased violence and increased aggression. And then there's a strain of that gene, which is the MAOAL gene, which just increases that by an exponential amount.
Yeah.
So, it just, it goes from 0 to 100 in a very short period of time, and that is the whole idea of nature. It's this gene, there people have wondered, is this gene enough to make someone a killer?
Yeah.
Or a psychopath?
There have been instances in court where a murderer has tried to argue that because they had this gene, they were bound to become a killer and therefore should not be held liable for their actions.
And there are court cases where that has worked, where their sentence is reduced because of this gene being present once they have proven that it is present.
Yes.
Never has it been the case being completely dismissed, but their sentence has been reduced because of it.
Yeah.
So one of the ones that I saw was a man was on death row for a murder charge, and he pleaded to the court that he had this gene and he had the proof to prove it. And so they reduced his sentence to 2 life sentences instead of death, which, I mean, it's not, you're still stuck in jail for the rest of your life, but I mean,
It's life in prison versus the death penalty.
Yeah.
Which that's a moral argument we're not going to get into today.
I don't think that's a good idea. That might make this episode a lot longer than we wanted to.
I might throw you out of the closet.
Well, now I'm curious. I just want your stance. Do you agree or disagree with it?
I don't like that someone can say, I have this gene, therefore I don't deserve to be punished for this crime.
Okay, so that's... yeah, that's kind of dumb, but, like...
I don't think their sentence should be reduced whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Because the reality of it is, a gene does not demand that you commit the crime.
That's true.
Like, it can demand that you are increasingly aggressive, but yeah, there are ways to divert that aggression to other behaviors, such yeah, as, oh, instead of doing that, I became a boxer.
Yeah.
Or, well, or I took up, like, martial arts or something yeah, like that. Or
yeah,
I took my anger out on a sport or something like yeah, that, instead of putting that anger towards taking someone's life away.
Well,
like,
yeah,
there are, if their only option of taking that aggression out was to commit murder, okay, maybe. But there's millions of options of what they yeah, could have done instead of committing murder to deal with that increased desire to be aggressive. And they still chose to commit murder. And that is a deliberate choice on their part. That is no fault of a genetic yeah, disorder.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I agree with it. I don't necessarily agree with the death penalty all the time. Kind of depends. It seems a bit extreme, but then again, you look at it from the side of, like, they took a life, why not take theirs and replace? But, like, what are you replacing?
I would want to know the details of the murder before I decided whether I thought...
Yeah, exactly.
The death penalty was warranted.
Exactly.
But they at least definitely deserved prison.
Yes.
If the jury thought they deserved the death penalty and then this gene lowered that sentence, I don't think that's right. I think they deserved the death penalty.
Yeah. And then there was the other case that I saw. It was they were denied the plea to get their sentence reduced. And then it was in Louisiana or Illinois.
Okay.
And then Illinois outlawed the death penalty.
Okay.
So that reduced their sentence to 2 life sentences in prison.
Which,
I mean, it's just...
2 life sentences is approximately 60 years because a life sentence is 30 to 37 years.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense, but yeah.
It doesn't make sense. That is correct.
That's not how that should work. But you know what? That's what they decided. All right, so this first case that I looked at...
Okay.
Was a case of a man that didn't really give his full name. They just called him Mr. A.
Okay.
He was born to a mother with untreated mental problems okay, and a substance abuse problem.
Okay.
And both of those... So we're getting into the nature part of this now.
And both you mean the nurture part?
Yes.
Okay.
That's mega small brain right there. So, nurture is family impact and stuff like that.
Okay.
Encounters with your area.
Yes. Your environment shapes who you are.
Yes. So, this man was born into a mother, mental problems, substance abuse problem. What do you think is going to happen?
This would typically either result in the individual becoming someone who is overly protective of himself and very guarded and self-controlled and self-driven and, like I said, very guarded.
Yeah.
He would be very shut down
yeah,
and very driven to succeed on his own behalf. Or it would result in someone who has his own mental illness and substance abuse problems.
So, the second one is the case.
Okay.
He grew up with little to no family input.
Okay.
He basically grew up by himself.
Okay.
He ended up living with his aunt. He when he was in school, he's the classic nerd, antisocial kid. Couldn't talk to anybody else, and was stuck in his own little bubble.
Okay.
So, that in itself is just emotional trauma. Just not being able to make friends, and with the assumption that he is so antisocial, he was probably bullied a lot in school.
I mean, he was isolated at home and then isolated at school. He would have extreme difficulty making connections with other people, and that would just lead to him having more and more difficulty making connections with other people.
Yeah. So this man ended up not being able to hold a job. He was in and out of mental hospitals and was on an extremely large amount of medication for mental illness.
What kind of mental illness?
That is a good question. I didn't see that. Didn't say.
I don't like that answer. But I'll let you slide.
I wish I had an answer for you. But I don't. So, there you go. Here's to prove that they actually have done some research about nature. It took 626 pairs of 17-year-old males and females, twins, from a community.
Good sample, because twins have, identical twins.
Yeah.
Not fraternal twins. Yeah. Because fraternal twins don't share the same embryo.
Yes.
Identical twins do, and so therefore they have the same genes at conception.
Okay, so the results. So anybody with the gene that was present did the multidimensional personality questionnaire.
Okay.
To see what they were like, how they responded to certain situations, and that kind of thing.
Okay, so it asks for questions that evaluate your well-being, social potency, achievement, social closeness, stress reaction, alienation, aggression, harm avoidance, traditionalism, control, absorption, and unlikely virtues.
Solid.
I'm starting to get a vibe for what this would look like. So an example of statements would be like, I see a bright future ahead, and you'd have to answer true or false. And so it's basically trying to evaluate a complete idea of what your personality looks like, even though, as we've discussed on this podcast, it's not possible to determine what your entire personality is like through any sort of personality questionnaire. This is one of the more complete ones.
Yeah. All right. Now I got a question for you.
Okay.
So,
Wait, you didn't finish talking about the other one.
This one?
Yes.
That's the end of it.
It didn't give any results or anything?
No.
Okay.
It was just the proof of study.
Okay.
Question here.
Okay.
Which do you think is more present, nature or nurture? Which do you think is more...
In what?
In serial killers. Which do you think has a bigger impact on them deciding to snap?
Deciding to snap.
To break and make the decision to take a life.
Nurture.
Yeah, probably. In terms of serial killers, yeah, it's probably nurture.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, it is nurture. Because they didn't take the brain scans of Ted Bundy to find out if his brain had this stupid gene. Because they're lazy. But what we do know... said he had a horrible childhood.
He did.
Regardless of what he said, he had a horrible childhood.
Gacy's dad was horrible. Jeffrey Dahmer's parents were human garbage.
The saddest one that I read while researching this was Mary Bell.
I don't remember hers.
She was a young girl. Lived with her mom in an apartment. Her mom was a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom was an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Prostituted her child, Mary Bell, at the age of 11. this young girl snaps at the age of 11 and takes the life of a 3-year-old boy and a 4-year-old boy before she is even 12.
Yeah.
And so that it just proves that what happens to a child in their young childhood will make or break their future.
Especially with children, it is so dependent on their childhood. Once they get to adulthood, though, there is still an adult has the ability to choose. Because yeah. Obviously, not every abused child chooses to murder people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Not every person with the MAOA gene chooses to kill people.
Yeah.
Not every abused child with the MAOA gene chooses to kill people.
Yeah.
But as an adult, you still have the ability to make those choices.
Yes.
And even though we can say, oh, it's nature versus nurture, da 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 da, it is still the individual's choice. And I think it's easy to get lost in the scholarly riffraff of, we want to find an answer to make sure that this never happens again, because the reality of it is, we can't control an individual's one choice.
Yeah, and that, especially that one choice, it kind of, it builds off of what happened to them in their young childhood, and childhood in general.
Yeah.
So, their decision making is no longer very strong.
Yeah.
Like, it almost seems like once this trauma has set and lingered and continues from the early childhood into adolescence, into young adult, if it continues through there, their decision-making goes down the drain. It just leaves. It almost seems like it's their only way out.
Yeah, they don't necessarily know how to understand human relationships that don't involve violence.
Yeah, and part of that comes from either a gene or
environment.
Emotional trauma.
Yes.
Which, if there is physical trauma, there is almost always emotional trauma from physical trauma.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even matter if it is verbal trauma. Like, the emotional trauma comes from, yeah, my dad beats me.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it doesn't function well. It doesn't mix well with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got for you.
Okay. Well done.
Yeah. Maybe find something that actually has more stuff to it next time. If I have to.
If you have to.
Have to.
If you want to.
Sounds good. I'll have more time to think about it.
All right. Now it is at time for everybody's favorite segment. Spooky fun fact. Today's spooky fun fact is that 40% of commercial pilots admit to falling asleep while piloting a flight.
I mean, nowadays I don't think that's as problematic because of autopilot. Not saying it's a good thing.
I still don't
like
it.
Not at all saying it's a good thing.
Still don't like it. I don't like planes.
You've never liked planes.
No, I haven't. For those of you who are uninformed, my sinuses don't regulate pressure changes very well, and so planes can be pretty painful for me, but I also just don't like being surrounded by a large group of people for very long, and I don't like being enclosed somewhere, and I don't like sitting still for very long. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like heights. There's just nothing about planes that I enjoy.
Yeah. How much does knowing that scare you?
I already believed it, honestly.
I already knew it before you even pulled it up.
Yeah.
I read and I was like, yeah, I already knew that. I've heard that statistic before.
Yeah. Weren't you fancy?
I took a stat class.
Wow. Yeah, he's the math geek of the family.
Math geek. Took a year off from school.
It doesn't take much to be the math geek of the family because I am atrocious at any math above algebra.
Yeah, so is Mom and Zachary.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't really... It's really not that hard.
It's not a tough competition to win. Like, there's no one else in the ring.
Yeah. I'm better at math than Dad is, and that he kind of does that for a job. But he mostly
Dad
does.
Has computers run it for him.
I know. I mean, hey, you don't need to do it yourself. You have a computer to do it for you.
Yep. Sorry, students in high school. You probably don't need the math you're learning.
Oh, what do you mean? You don't need it at all.
I sometimes use algebra at my job.
For what reason?
So, like, I use two variable equations for... So we have... we have catalogs.
But okay, that makes a little more sense.
We have residents who get to order something out of a catalog once every quarter. And a lot of our residents aren't capable of ordering stuff from said catalog. But we still have to order stuff from said catalog for them. So for a long time that was my job. And so a lot of my math calculations would be trying to estimate how, like, the optimal amount of briefs and wipes I can order.
Oh, okay.
For X amount of money.
Yeah.
So I would type in, like, $47 per package of briefs and substitute X for the number of briefs plus $30 for the price of a package of wipes times Y number of wipes equals however much money I had left over.
Okay.
And then plug that in and solve the equation for both X and Y and find out where both X and Y would be at their highest values.
Mm-hmm.
So I could figure out what the best amount of each to order would be.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it was fun.
I thought you hated algebra.
No, I like algebra. Oh, okay. I don't like anything past algebra.
Oh, okay.
Trig? No.
Trig was fun.
I hated trig. Fuck that.
Well, okay, so here's the thing about trig. If you have the stuff memorized that you're supposed to memorize, it's very easy, and it makes a lot of sense. If you suck at memorizing, or you don't try to memorize it, it's really hard.
Here's my problem. I can remember everything ever except for numbers, names, and dates.
Okay. So how hard was it for you to memorize the unit circle?
I couldn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot it after a year. But I had it memorized for 2 months.
Fancy.
Well, I also used it every day, so I mean, it made it helpful.
Yeah. I'm not good at math where I have to memorize things. I need to just be able to figure it out on the fly, or I'm not going to be able to do it.
Memorizing equations is a lot easier than memorizing the unit circle.
Okay. All right. So, we are back again with more on the CIA experiments on behavior and thought control.
Mind control.
And
spooky.
Yeah. MK Ultra, that whole thing. Yeah. I would summarize, but we're like 6 episodes in to the series. So no.
I've totally watched any of these episodes.
I don't blame you if you haven't. It's been a long series.
It's been a very busy life. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. So today we're going to go over 2 different projects, which were happening at the same time as MKUltra.
Okay.
And we're working on similar subjects as MKUltra. Like other projects in this series, there is tons of misinformation regarding both of these projects, and official records are really hard to find. So, as mentioned before, you can check my sources in, like, there will be a link in the description to take you to our sources page for information which I have screened and determined to be credible and accurate. There are always rabbit holes that I simply don't have time to cover, and you can usually find some of them in that said sources page. So, let's just get into it.
Sounds good.
We are going to discuss Operation Midnight Climax and the Henry A. Murray experiments.
I have no clue what either of those are.
It's going to be fun.
Sounds good.
Do you like talking about drugs, prostitutes, brothels,
what?
LSD,
okay.
And interrogations at Harvard?
Interrogations at Harvard?
That's what we're talking about today.
Why at Harvard? What are you going to get from a college student?
Welcome to the series. For those of you who are just joining now.
I mean,
it's a strange ride. Go back to watch it. I would recommend you go back and watch the whole thing for all of the strange context.
And hear whatever Wes decided to talk about.
I think we talked about different whales.
Whales?
There was a weird whale.
Weird whale.
Let me find a picture of it and show you the horror.
Alright. The horror of a weird whale.
It was fucked.
Why you gotta talk about the whale like that?
It was a spooky whale.
Is it a spoopy whale? We're getting close to Halloween. Can we bring back Spoopy?
Spoopy, scary skeleton.
No, the spoopy ghost. That's just spooky, scary skeletons. Said shiveries down your spine.
What episode are we on? Episode 40.
Yes. Spooky, scary skeleton. Shen skiver.
Skivers.
Shen skivers.
Shen skivers.
Send shivers down your spine. Oh, I think I've seen that picture. Why? It looks like a rat.
Yep, that's a whale.
That one's not that bad. Why does it look like a lobster?
That's what I said.
I've seen some of these pictures. I don't know where. It's a cow.
That's what I said.
Moo.
With like an ice cream head.
How are you going to bully that whale like that?
Okay. So let's get into whatever ridiculousness I've managed to dredge up.
Sounds good.
So Operation Midnight Climax was a strange choice.
All right, can we just talk about how odd that name is?
It'll make sense.
I have been reading through some of your notes. It already makes sense.
Yeah. So, its stated intent was to learn about thought control and sexual behavior. It just occurred to me that I'm doing this episode with my brother. Also a strange choice.
You know what? Your choice, not mine.
We're in a closet. It's fine.
Why'd you have to make it more awkward? I think you just made it worse.
Because I enjoy making others feel awkward, because I don't think I have the capacity to feel awkward.
Alright, sounds good. I guess.
So, their methods were abhorrent. Abhorrent, honestly, isn't even a strong enough word. So, female sex workers were hired by the CIA to pick up men in bars. They would then take them to a brothel, drug them, and then have sex with them. The drug was typically LSD, because, as we know from the rest of the series, the CIA, during MKUltra and the previous experiments before that, was fucking obsessed with LSD. Like, they tunnel-visioned into LSD harder than you tunnel visioned into any League of Legends games with Wukong.
Shut up. Don't talk about that. You're gonna spike some nerd interest.
That's what I do. So, the brothels were not normal everyday brothels, though. The CIA converted these buildings into them. The furniture was cheap as fuck.
Yeah.
But it did the job.
Cool.
Decor was garish, and yet also did the job, meaning that it held up the weight of two individuals doing strenuous physical activity.
All right.
So there were some details that were highly intentional, though.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA hung posters of women in bondage, along with other pictures of kink activity.
Sounds good.
Do I need to explain further?
Please don't.
Okay. In each room, there was a mirror that was actually not a mirror. It was actually a window.
Oh.
So the CIA agents could observe without the subjects being know they were being observed.
That's just creepy. On so many levels.
The women knew they were being observed, but the men did not.
That's extra creepy.
So they were drugged and studied during sex, without giving consent for being drugged or being studied during sex.
Yeah.
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 I assume the agents were hoping that the posters would cause the men to be more aggressive during sex than they normally would be. But since I haven't found any evidence showing that they had control experiments where the posters weren't up, I'm not sure.
I couldn't tell you.
I say assume because despite the fact that the CIA was more than willing to out their actions, they were less willing to out any of the results or anything else, honestly, on the experiment. There are essentially no original documents written by the CIA that have been declassified on the subject.
Yeah, it sounds about like the CIA.
My guess is that they were destroyed.
Yeah. Also sounds like the CIA.
Along with a lot of the other MKUltra files.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is possible that they still exist and remain classified, but with how irrelevant Operation Midnight Climax objectives were to national security, it is unlikely that they would still be considered necessary to be classified.
What are you doing, cat?
My cat is trying to break into the closet. Just let her in.
You can either come in, or you can keep walking away. Your choice. I'm just gonna leave the door like that.
You change your mind.
All the time.
Like a girl changes clothes.
She's singing with you.
Hi.
Good evening, miss. Your claw? It's in my leg.
So, unless the department is just keeping them out of hope of avoiding embarrassment, they probably just no longer exist.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Regardless, I probably don't need to tell you that these experiments were grossly immoral. The sex workers were surprisingly well compensated for a night of sex work. I will give them that. They were paid $100 for the job, which would be around $1,000 today.
Okay.
That is fairly reasonable.
Yeah, I guess.
If you can make $1,000 for less than 8 hours of work.
It would depend on the work that I was doing.
I know, but I'm saying, like, a lot of people would be pretty okay with that money.
Probably, yeah.
The men were not compensated, though.
Well,
and they did not give consent.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
They were drugged.
They were drugged. Against their will. And basically any sexual contact after the drugging would be assault. Because they were in no state to give consent.
Yeah.
And so the CIA was basically paying women to sexually assault men.
Yep. And that's the basis of that.
And you know what? I don't know if $100 is enough to sexually assault someone.
I mean, no, it's not.
I just don't think it cuts it.
I don't think so either.
I mean, I wouldn't do it for any amount of money, but like...
Agreed.
I don't think most people would do it for that money.
I don't think so either. I hope most people wouldn't do it for that.
Yeah. Oh, the women were also given get-out-of-jail-free cards for their future interactions with the police.
Oh, cool.
Because sex workers in the 1950s.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Fun.
Yeah. Totally. A lot of fun.
Woohoo. Yeah, if this was later than 1955, I would definitely accuse the CIA of using Operation Midnight Climax to create their own cachet of pornography. I'm still considering doing it.
Emil, I don't think you want to be on more CIA watch lists.
Meh. Video cameras were not common outside of a professional movie studio, though. Do I think that the U.S. government could have gotten their hands on one anyway? Yes.
I don't doubt they could have.
Do I think it would be worth the effort?
Probably not.
Not necessarily. Head of operations was George White. Most of his career had been spent with the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, ironically.
Yeah.
He was working on cracking down on the drug trade. And so... And
using LSD.
He got hired to give LSD to prostitutes to give it to men against their will.
You know what? I guess it works.
George White, I kind of hope there's a God and a Jesus to meet you at, like, the in-between, so Jesus can just be like, bruh.
Bruh.
What the fuck was that?
What the actual fuck was that?
Mad scientist in charge of many aspects of MKUltra, Sidney Gottlieb, was the person responsible for recruiting George White specifically for this operation, meaning that he heard the name of this operation and immediately thought, my buddy George White would be great for this. I don't even want to know what George White had done in the past to make Gottlieb think of him specifically for it.
I'm still stuck on the title being Midnight Climax.
George White was a decorated servant of the CIA.
Decorated?
But he was also known to be a skeeve. He did basically see Operation Midnight Climax as his own personal pervy playground.
I don't doubt that.
His famous quote regarding this experiment was, "Where else could a red-blooded American boy lie, kill, cheat, steal, rape, and pillage with the sanction and blessing of the All-Highest?"
That's not okay.
Again... Like, I have crucified Gottlieb throughout this series, over and over, but I don't even want to know what George White did to make Gottlieb think of him.
I don't either. Hopefully it's not all that, you know? I mean...
It probably is.
I would say it probably is. But, you know, you can still hope. You gotta give benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise, right? That's how that's supposed to work.
See, but in the court of penance and purgatory, especially when it comes to the CIA in the 1950s, that's not how we do things.
I know. Benedict. Were you trying to turn it into an Imagine Dragons song?
I'll just put the same word over and over in the fourth round of the song, and it'll be on the top...
top tens.
For, like, 5 years.
Yep. You know what they say, thunder. and the lightning.
And now we're about to be crucified by our audience.
Hey, you started, alright?
Okay. Now we're gonna get into some more fucked up shit. Because why wouldn't we? This is Penance and Purgatory.
Woohoo.
Don't sound so excited.
Sorry, my fault.
So, we're gonna talk about the Henry A. Murray experiments.
Yeah, that just doesn't sound good. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, Henry Murray's experiments on behalf of the CIA are some of the most clear abuses of psychological experiments on humans.
Oh.
Especially since it was done under contract of the CIA at Harvard.
Again, why Harvard?
So, as we've discussed in this series before, the CIA contracted a lot of universities to work for MKUltra and do a lot of experiments on their behalf.
Oh, that makes more sense. But, yeah. Like, why Harvard?
It was just one of those universities.
Basically, Harvard said, ooh, free money, let's go.
Yeah.
That's what colleges do, regardless of what the situation is. Student? Oh, yeah, free money, give.
We're going to make you come in for an orientation. Give us $8 for parking, please. And you can't skip this orientation or we'll charge you $700.
Sounds about right.
So, Murray created the Murray's Psychogenic Needs List, which was actually useful for the field of psychology. It includes achievement, affiliation, and power, and was one of the first thoughts in psychology that actually included the idea that humans needed more than physical needs, such as, like, food, water, and shelter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It also included the ideas that people need things like recognition and love and shit like that. So, beyond that, he worked at Harvard,
mm-hmm.
which was contracted by the CIA to run experiments.
Cool.
So, he came up with this one.
Great.
So, these experiments were seeking primarily to see what the reaction to extreme stress in individuals was.
I hate this person.
Me too.
Already. With that sentence, I hate this person.
It gets worse.
Of course it does.
So individuals were essentially verbally abused with comments and attacks personally tailored to their ego, cherished ideas, and beliefs. These individuals were then forced to watch their reaction on video. Basically, they were interrogated, insulted, and then forced to watch themselves watch down on a shitty video... themselves be torn apart.
Yeah.
And all of this interrogation was done by a contracted lawyer.
Yeah, I really hate this guy.
Because of course it was.
Why wouldn't it be? You know?
If there is any profession that prepares you to ask hard questions and humiliate people in front of others, regardless of morality, it is lawyering. The subjects were asked questions to present their views on life, morality, etc. Basically, their worldview.
Yeah.
Then the lawyer worked to tear it apart systematically. 2 hours a week for the entire school year.
These poor killins. I was going to say chillins. And children. So I was going to say children, and I was going to say chillins, and I wanted to say kids, and it just kind of all mixed together
yep.
to make killins.
It would be highly detrimental to their worldview and mental health.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They were paid small amounts of money for this. I couldn't find an actual value. I would venture to guess it wasn't more than, like,
$20. I hope it's more than $20.
But when asked directly, most did not know why they were willing to spend 20-plus hours being demolished emotionally.
I couldn't answer that question for them either.
The main dig? Murray never gave a direct answer for why this experiment was needed or for what he was looking for. He didn't even have a hypothesis.
Of course he didn't. Why would he, you know?
He only said that it couldn't serve a direct purpose, and no direct conclusion could be found.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Some theorized that participants were also being dosed with LSD to further break them down.
Hey, look, more LSD.
There isn't enough evidence one way or another, but it wouldn't surprise me. That would be congruent with other experiments that were run in the course of the entire MKUltra series, where individuals were given LSD and constantly interrogated and broken down.
CIA really likes LSD.
I told you, the CIA tunnel visioned on LSD. They thought it was gonna give them the most bitchin' soldiers ever.
I guess so.
And in reality, it's not.
Well, it's LSD.
Yeah.
I don't know what you expect from LSD other than to get a person shit-faced.
And we know that now, but when it was created 8 years before, they didn't know that.
Yeah, probably.
So here's the part where it gets worse.
Of course.
One of the students being tested was Ted Kaczynski.
Of course he was.
The Unabomber. Many experts have stated that Kaczynski was suffering from schizophrenia, but his actions and notes and stuff have shown elsewhere to be against that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
His appearance and ramblings of differing opinions made those experts want to jump to a conclusion, basically.
Yeah.
He lived in a cabin in the middle of nowhere. He did communicate with people in his neighboring town.
Well, that's surprising.
But not that often, because when you live in the middle of nowhere, that's just the kind of life you live.
Yeah.
That's what normal is.
Yeah.
And so these experts were looking at it like this man should be doing the same things that a man who lives in a big city is, when they should be looking at him like he's a man who lives in a town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, some people are just not that smart.
Yes.
But you know what? If people want to be dumb and not put the pieces together that the guy lived out in the middle of buttfuck nowhere, and they want him to be a city man, well, then they're just dumb.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's nothing you can do about it now.
They also didn't know that he had attended school at Harvard during the Murray experiments.
Of course they didn't. Why would they, you know?
Because most of them didn't bother to ask him directly any questions.
Yeah, I mean,
they just read his writing and looked at the pictures of him and assumed that he was just a dirty old schizophrenic man.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
When in reality, to be a bomber, you often have to be highly intelligent and highly organized.
I don't think it's often. I think it's all the time.
To be able to create a bomb that doesn't just kill you when you're trying to put it together.
Yeah. Or when you're trying to place it.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you know, it takes a new level of knowledge.
Yeah. So, there's no way to know what exactly was discussed in those sessions with Kaczynski. It can only be guesstimated, basically.
Damn.
Ultimately, he became someone who hated technology, the government, and public institutions with a fiery passion.
I mean, it makes sense.
Maybe when he walked into Harvard, he didn't mind those things, and he believed in those systems, and those beliefs were torn apart by a lawyer being paid by the CIA.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not Kaczynski started as a psycho set to murder people with bombs, the Henry A. Murray experiments would have fractured a fragile psychology that already existed.
Yeah.
It made it possible.
Yep.
If you aren't someone with a mental illness, think of someone you know who is. Depression, anxiety, etc. Do you think they would survive 20 plus hours of having their worldview, their beliefs, their self-confidence, etc. be demolished when those concepts are already on shaky ground?
I mean, you can answer that pretty easily. Would you survive it?
No.
That's what I thought. I wouldn't either.
Mental illness makes every individual feel some level of insecurity of those concepts.
Yeah.
And so a consistent questioning of them would be detrimental.
Yeah.
I know I would find it to be horrific.
I think just the questioning itself, not even the replaying of the questioning in, like... Do you think overthinking is a mental disorder?
No, but it's a symptom of several. Most of those that I know with mental illnesses wouldn't do well either. Wouldn't go well. Not to mention those without mental illnesses.
I don't think it would go well for anybody.
No.
So.
It was torture.
I mean, yeah. Don't they use that as a form of torture?
Yes.
So, why? Why did the CIA think this was okay? Why does the CIA think anything is okay that they do that's not okay?
I just wish that they had an answer for why they did this in the first place.
Yeah, that would be great.
Like, at least with a lot of the other MKUltra experiments, they at least had a hypothesis or a goal. With the Murray experiments, there was nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know what? They decided to do a thing, and it probably caused a lot of people to die.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Unabomber.
Yeah.
Is a thing.
Yeah.
And he was not a happy person.
No. This is what happens when we fuck with people's brains.
Moral of the story, kids, don't fuck with people's brains.
Leave them.
God damn.
Leave them be.
Stop your bullying, because that fucks with the brain too.
Leave it alone.
Damn, my other hand didn't crack. I was hoping it would.
Probably didn't even pick up on the mic.
I think it did a little. You know what? Oh well.
So that was some of the other random experiments of. Or around MKUltra. We are not finished with the series yet.
You said about 43 was where you had to go. Still got at least 3 more episodes.
Yeah. No, we're not done yet. Let me pull up what we're talking about next week, because I don't even remember.
Do you know who your sub is for next week?
I don't know that yet either.
Oh, well... Give me ideas, I'll help you. If you can't find anyone else, because Zachary's got a lot of shit to do.
So next week is when we get into when the CIA took a dark turn and started studying human behavior when it comes to the occult.
I was going to say, this isn't already dark enough. They want to go further down the rabbit hole of...
Yeah, because they wanted to study psychics.
Being shit human beings?
Because they wanted psychics to be soldiers, too.
The people that do dumb shit, like palm reading? Those type of psychics? Or, like, legit psychics? Like, people that could read your mind?
We have...
Superpower shit type shit.
We have differing views if the phrase legit psychics came out of your mouth.
You know what? What is your ideal legit psychic?
Legit psychics don't exist. They're all con artists.
Well, I know that. I'm talking like superhero shit, legit.
No.
Does the CIA want to, like, put together a super army of psychics that can move shit with their minds?
No. If you want more information, you're just going to have to come back next week. Back into the closet.
Back into the closet. It's very hot in here.
It is. We'll have to find a solution for that as well.
We'll get a tiny fan and put it in that corner. We'll make this your new office. Abigail's working in her closet for the next 2 weeks. Until Wes gets back, she's stuck in her closet.
If you would like to see the evolution of the closet, you can check us out on our social medias, on all of them. They are Penance and Purgatory. This is the part Wes does. I'm really bad at it.
Don't ask me, I don't know.
Your true or fictional spooky stories at penanceandpurgatory@gmail.com.
Send us some spooky fun facts, because Abigail's was kind of lame for the day. Wasn't very spooky. I'm going to come next week with an extra spooky fun fact.
Okay.
I'm going to find one.
Okay.
I'm going to Google spooky fun facts. And I really hope Penance and Purgatory is the first thing that comes up. That'd be sick.
That would be absurd.
That's probably not gonna happen, but I'm gonna do it.
If you would like to, please rate us on iTunes or Facebook if you're a boomer.
You're not supposed to call them out. You're not supposed to make him feel bad. What about the Google Play Store? I don't know. It's just a joke.
I don't even know if you can do that.
It's just a joke.
This is the part that Wesley does, and I'm just like,
Well, this is what happens when Wes isn't here.
Hopefully Wes will be back soon.
Well, you got 2 more weeks. At least. Left on Wednesday. So maybe 3. Have fun with that. Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine.
Alright, before my brother drives me crazy and I'm...
You're not already crazy?
...forced to murder him.
Hey! No.
Have a good week, everybody. Stay creepy. I think that's what Wes says.
Go with it.
And I usually say, stay safe. Bye.
Bye.